This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of the show. Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, Trey along for the ride, shadowing Nick. Hour number one was spirited, eventful, and funny. If you'd missed it, well, that's on you, but you can still catch up. It's not last resort time yet. You can either go to Podcast Arena and check it out, or ESPN975.com. Click on the show and get the previous hours.
Somebody said, hey, guys, thanks. Now my three-year-old won't stop saying peanut butter.
Got him!
We got to tell him when it becomes when that episode's on Shark Tank.
Yep, that's right. For 5%, I'm $50,000. I'll give you 5% of my company. That's Nick.
Oh no, I thought you were going to finish that with. No. I'll give you 5% of my penis butter.
No.
So you can put it in your burger.
Oh. Barry,
give you some of my penis butter so you can enjoy that.
Mm.
Yeah. Who puts peanut butter in a burger?
You do. A burger joint in Tulsa, and it was really good.
No, it wasn't.
It was super good. You have never had it, so you don't know.
I don't need to. It's like when Raheel was talking about, like, how do you make your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And I was like,
with my dog.
I was like, simple, like peanut butter and jelly. He's like, oh, so you're basic. I'm like, what does that mean?
Else? Yeah, what else are you supposed
to do? Oh, no, wait, it's coming.
After he puts the peanut butter and jelly in the sandwich, he like toasts it in the pan.
He makes it a grilled cheese, like a grilled cheese.
What?
Yeah.
I think we found,
he kind of grills it for like
a Russian spy.
60 seconds, he says.
I think the bench has found that Russian spy, it's Raheel. Because only a communist would toast a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And he tried to say that, oh, the peanut butter kind of melts, and so it's great with the crispy bread and the jelly. I'm like, the jelly's got to be cold.
Yeah, it does.
He's, I don't, like, want, no, warm jelly. No, it's so great. No, I'm not.
I will say
that.
This though: when I was during one of my diets, one of my many diets, because I love ice cream. Like, that's one of my weaknesses, right? I eat a lot of ice cream, and so I was trying to figure out healthy ways to eat ice cream. And they were saying, if you like toppings, if you want like chocolate or whatever, one of the things you can do is take peanut butter and melt it in the microwave and pour that over the ice cream.
Like, okay, I can see that.
Oh,
yeah,
that,
that sounds good. That sounds good.
It was good. That I would do, like, warm peanut butter like that. Yeah, that was good.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
I got to avoid it because...
Peanut butter?
Yeah, because it's a killer.
On your reflux?
That too. Yeah, for sure. Like, literally, if I eat peanut butter during the day, if I'm going to go do anything, like, cardio-wise, I'll be... It just,
oh,
yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, that sucks. I didn't know,
and
what
peanut butter is awesome.
Yeah, I do.
Unless you make it like a grilled cheese.
Somebody said PB&J with bacon and a glass of milk. Just
bacon
try
on the PB&J. What?
Bacon?
I get how good bacon is and how much people love it, but on a peanut butter and jelly? And you're a bacon guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had chocolate covered bacon. I don't know if I would
that
go.
That sounds like something for the state.
Jelly,
fair.
Jelly and bacon doesn't sound like. Peanut butter and bacon, maybe. But jelly and bacon just sounds like a horrible, horrible mix.
I mean, essentially, you're slapping peanut butter on any piece of meat. But with jelly, it
sounds like Nick and his dog.
Shut your hole. Shut it.
Well, that's not what you said to the dog. You kind of walked right into that.
You guys are having too much fun with this dog nonsense. I hate the both of you. Looking forward to Friday. I'm never going to use the dumb button ever again for either one of you.
You already said that. We're prepared for it. Kind of.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not dumping all this. I figured that's when you would. It's too late now. The 8 seconds is up. Somebody said, buy a Twinkie, toast it, eat it. Thank me on tomorrow's show. That was Josh in Beaumont. A toasted Twinkie.
No.
All right. Rednecks will fry anything.
Yep.
Josh in Beaumont, I've just... What? It's a Twinkie.
Raheel will air fry anything.
Oh, does he have an air fryer?
Oh, he
does
sings
that work?
The praises of the air fryer. Loves it.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how that works. Hmm.
Something that sounds like something right up your alley, because you're like that sous vide guy. What is it called? Sous vide?
Sous vide.
Yeah.
Just I mean, that's a, something. Had a sous vide steak Sunday night when I got back from L.A.
Try air frying it now.
I would try it in the air fryer.
Yeah.
I think
what,
I would.
What if you get a really sweet steak and it screws it up?
I wouldn't air fry a steak. I would never do that.
Oh.
No. There's no way. I wouldn't fry a steak.
Speaking of bacon, did you hear that at this year's, because I said it sounded kind of like a state fair thing. The Texas State Fair this year will debut a bacon-wrapped Twinkie fried in funnel cake batter.
Done. I'm in. Sold. Sign me up. Give me one. I would eat that in a heartbeat. Funnel
cake.
And
for you, Barry, if you'd like to top it even further, they're going to have funnel cake ice cream topped with funnel cake pieces and powdered sugar.
Yeah, I'm in. All this, none of this sounds bad. I'm totally in on all that. And where's this?
Texas State Fair, which is right there by the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. It's your favorite clean city, too. So, I mean, it all works out.
I was up there last year during the State Fair.
Speaking on behalf of the city in terms of its cleanliness and beauty?
No, just doing a gig. Just doing a gig.
Oh, well, you moved up from fairs to festivals. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, worked out great. PB&J and a fried egg is delicious. You can go to hell. That sounds horrible.
People think they can put egg on anything these days. That's the problem.
From a breakfast perspective, a lot of people use the toast as a sandwich, and then they stack everything on it with the bacon and the eggs and the cheese and everything like that. But other people, because they put jelly on their toast, put egg and jelly and all
that's
that.
Horrible.
I don't like the sweetness of the jelly mixed with all the warm stuff.
Yeah, I don't. And somebody just said bacon and jelly sandwiches are good. No, I just don't. I just feel like rednecks will try anything at least once. What does John want to talk? John wants to talk crazy sandwiches.
All right.
John, what's up?
Yeah, I've danced around a sandwich me and some buddies make every once in a while.
Okay.
And everybody who hears about it says they're disgusting until they try them, and then they eat the entire thing. You take a French bread or maybe a baguette. We've never done baguettes, but I'm sure it'll work. Take a French bread. You slather peanut butter on both sides. You cut up a banana in real thin slices and have a layer of bananas. You then fry up some bacon, put it all over the sandwich, and then you put whatever flavor jelly you want on it. You put it together and put it in the oven and let it toast for about 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, it doesn't sound like it'd be appetizing, but it's unbelievable.
So
it's really good.
So, John, you're saying
the peanut butter melts,
banana, jelly,
together,
bacon, and French toast, and bacon,
and then bake it.
Or a French baguette.
Yeah. Fry some bacon.
First of all,
there.
John, you don't sound like the fancy type that would have a French baguette just laying around. Can I not just use regular old bread?
But when you toast
we've always used French bread. We never.
Yeah.
I think regular bread would fall apart. But.
Yeah, when you toast it, the outer surface of the French bread is what keeps it all together.
I love how Joel's over here engineering the sandwich.
But it's true, though. It's the texture is like
that. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that.
Okay.
The peanut butter oozes together. It gets all warm and melty, and the bananas, it's really good. It's a lot better than it sounds.
That was way too descriptive, John. Way too descriptive. You made it creepy. It's all oozy.
It does sound weird, but I bet you some people would like that.
The peanut butter tantalizes the taste buds, but gives you a little too much heat. When the jelly comes in, it kind of soothes the aspirations of the peanut butter to kind of create
a mix. Thank you, Gay
Fieri. You're welcome.
Really appreciate that. Yes, now everyone is texting in their sandwiches. I'm not reading all these guys. I'm deleting them. I don't like most of these. I feel like you're just now just yelling out various condiments to put on a sandwich.
He said condiments.
Yes,
Trey. It's not a treat at the Five and Dime or the Quick Trip.
Have you ever had a syrup sandwich?
What? It's called pancakes, isn't it?
No, where you take like bread and butter. You put butter on it, and then you put some syrup and some sugar on it.
That's it?
Pretty good.
And the bread's not toasted?
I mean, you could toast it if you want to, but
that would almost be French toast or pancake.
Yeah, you don't have to toast it. It's good. It's not bad. It's okay.
I would just make pancakes.
Not the best. Huh?
I'd just make pancakes.
Somebody said we ain't all rednecks in Beaumont, Barry.
That's
Amazon
Beast,
brother. I'm pretty sure. Air fry is amazing. Okay, you know what? This has turned into a cooking show. I'm done.
Oh, but if it was lawn and garden, hell yeah, we're doing it all.
Don't mention
show.
That. Now we're going to get all these texts.
Yeah, I did mean to ask you guys, who talked lawn and garden while I was gone? Who
Absolutely
covered?
Absolutely no one.
Who covered all of the lawn care questions?
And last
nobody
time
asked,
I checked,
nobody
not
cared.
A single person inquired about it.
Really?
Really.
I find that hard to believe.
If you find that hard to believe, Barry, you can catch all of the shows that you missed on podcastarena.com. And also, you can go to ESPN975.com where you can find everything.
I should go back and listen. I did tell Jerry to download Friday for himself.
He should.
As a reel.
Yeah, he did really well.
And I told him that you guys said he did a good job, so he was excited.
So did the listeners.
Yeah.
They were texting in, which was great.
Good stuff.
Okay, so we got plenty more to get to as we're getting into hour number two of the three-hour show. Unfortunately, the Post Oak Little Leaguers are done. They had all their fun in a four-run lead last night, but in extra innings, it all was for naught as they are eliminated from the competition. So we touch on that. We have Astros again tonight against the Mariners again in Seattle with, I can't say his nickname that everybody loves to call him, but Brad Peacock will be making his first official start of the year as the streak is over. The Astros were trying to battle the Seattle Mariners of, I believe, the either late 90s or early 2000s with Freddie Garcia and company that had the only pitching staff to pitch the entire season with only five guys. It ends tonight because with days off, they were able to skip McCullers, but tonight they needed a starter. McHugh pitched last night, so Peacock on the mound. Fear thee, and you can insert here, Nick. And
you can say cock. It's a rooster.
Well, then fear that too.
Fear the rooster. Yeah, you can say that.
Well, you didn't say it. Like you just said, fear the rooster.
What?
You just said fear the rooster. If you want to say it, let it fly.
I did. I said you can say cock.
Well, then say
it's
it
a rooster.
Fear the.
You never heard cock of the walk? That's the rooster that's out there walking
around.
Well,
you said
like
that. Now that's
walk.
Cool. But when you just say.
It's right, a look, rooster, guys.
Look, I'm trying to get rid of you. It's all good. All right.
Guys, stop being childish.
Did you notice how far away he's from the dump button? Yes. It's like, go ahead. Say it again.
It's a term like South Carolina Gamecocks. Same thing.
Right. So
what's
the
difference?
Then. Say who they're supposed to fear tonight.
Brad Peacock.
We'll be back. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep hour number two, 3 hour show. It's the usual suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. Jugs is here, shadowing Nick. I believe Nick's dog is going to be calling in hour number three. Said on the way home, pick up some more peanut butter.
Hey, Nick, we're out of peanut butter.
And don't get nice. Crunchy. Oh, boy. It's one of those days.
Nicholas. All right. I will digress. I was going to keep reading these stupid food things, but we've moved on.
Did you get enough of them?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Mayonnaise sandwiches and all this. It's wild.
I love how everybody adds bacon to everything and think they're so creative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you add bacon to anything, it tastes better.
But see, that's a thing down here. Because the thing is, from the Midwest, like I was saying, bacon is just for, like, warm foods. I don't get it with jelly and Twinkies and things like that.
I think people just get bored and want to try something new.
I think that's probably right. And then I think all the state fairs try to outdo each other.
Yes.
Because in Wisconsin, the big thing is everything you can deep fry. They deep fry everything.
That's at the rodeo that, here.
And I think the Texas State Fair does it too.
Yeah.
But that's like, I just... certain things aren't supposed to be deep fried.
Like?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, give me an example. What wouldn't you deep fry?
First of all, I don't think a Twinkie should be deep fried.
Oh, you are out of your damn mind.
No.
Have you ever had one?
No.
They're legit.
Really?
Because every year, Nora and Nancy and myself, Nancy is my sister-in-law, we all go to the rodeo cook-off or whatever the hell, the fair.
Yeah.
And just eat fried, deep fried things. Twinkies,
you think pizza
Oreos.
Should be deep fried?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is really good deep fried.
I do want to try like making pizza on a pit, like barbecue pizza.
I've heard that's good.
I want to try that, but yeah. I haven't been able to do that.
Deep fried Snickers, deep fried Oreos, deep fried ice cream, anything, Twinkies, all that's good.
I guess I get the fried with certain dessert things, but I just...
I never thought so, too, but try the deep-fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I think that will open the door for all.
Now, if you were like, oh, here's some deep-fried cauliflower, I'd be like, no,
nah,
I'm good.
Nope.
You can have it.
Yeah, see, that's what I should
say. But
said.
All the other stuff is, yeah.
Deep-fried tomato? No.
Oh, my God, no.
See? That's what I'm saying. Just regular tomato is horrible.
Did you see the power rankings?
I did.
Sorry,
you were
headed somewhere. Where were you going?
No, I was going to say... I was trying to bring up some other... Go ahead.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Why are the Astros still number two?
No idea. That's why I put it on the rundown. I could not believe that. The latest power rankings have the Red Sox one, the Astros two. Have you not seen this team play in the last couple weeks?
I love me some Astros. I do. They're my team through and through. But there's no reason they should be number two on the ESPN power rankings. That's just somebody that's not either not paying attention or just anticipating that when they get some of these players back that they're going to just pick up where they left off. And it's going to take a little bit of time, I do believe. But this is a team that, over their last 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, they've won 2 games.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, look, the other thing is, and we
talked
about
two out of their last
Springer
10,
doesn't
not 12.
Play again last night. So he comes off the thumb injury and now he's got a quad issue. So he doesn't play again last night. Since Correa's been back, he's been awful.
Yep.
And I even said the 3-run double in the box score looks like a laser to the corner. It was like a 2-bouncer that caught the line. It's just he just hasn't looked like himself, and so you can't expect that Altuve is going to come in just raking when he comes back tonight either. And you need these games. You're playing against teams that are going to be desperate, like Seattle. That you know you just got into a huge issue. The A's are not going away. And the A's are starting to build enough of confidence. No. They want to see you again. They feel like they can beat you.
They got the savvy veteran in Mike Fiers.
Did you see what he did last night? A one-hitter?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
That's
worst. That's what I'm saying. The worst thing you can do is take a team like that you had beat, six straight times in Oakland, and all of a sudden you give them confidence? This team's not going away.
It doesn't look that way. Now, I will say this. You've got, Correa 0-for-4 last night with 2 strikeouts. Kemp has been struggling over his last 7 games. I think he has like 1 or 2 hits. But it's one of those things where I feel like once everybody's back in the lineup, Springer at 1, Bregman at 2, Altuve at 3, Correa 4, Gurriel 5, once you get that going and back in the chemistry rebuilt again, I think the rest of it falls into place and they take off. I think so.
Because here's the thing. That's the thing that really kind of, it's been gnawing at me is how nonchalant everybody is about the fact that it is. It's going to happen. It's the Astros. It will be. And it will happen. And I'm like you. I love the Astros. And I want them to succeed in the worst way. And it just has me concerned in the fact that there's not enough concern in the fact that I don't want to rely on if Tyler White can finally stay hot because he had an 8-game hitting streak. Or Tony Kemp can be the Tony Kemp of this year versus every time he's been called up previously. Or the other guys that have just completely crapped the bed when you brought him up. That's why I said I'd like an insurance policy or two so that we can assure that Springer, like the Springer situation, comes back from one injury, has another. We need everybody healthy. And I really believe that on top of all that, it wouldn't hurt to have a backup plan and insurance for whether it be the DH, left field, wherever the case may be.
I was looking at last 7 days for all the guys that were in the lineup last night. Mm-hmm. What have they done at the plate over the last 7 days? There is one guy.
Is Marwin the hottest?
There is no. Maldonado is hitting .333 over his last 7 days.
That's unreal because that's not going to hold up.
No. But the hottest is Marwin at .286.
That's what I was
going to say. Maldonado is hitting .333 over the last 7 days.
Yeah.
The second on this team is Marwin at .286. I mean, the rest of it, it's not good. I mean, this last week has literally been feast or famine for these guys, and mostly famine. I mean, they had the one game where they put up a decent output. But for the most part, I mean, Bregman over his last 7 games, .273. Marwin's .286. Yuli hitting .273. Correa, now that he's back, he's .095. Tyler White, .250. Josh Reddick, .100 over his last 7 games.
Think
this
about
is bad.
What you just said, too. The fact that Tyler White, I just got done saying, is hot, and everybody's talking about his hitting streak. He got so hot, he's hitting .252.
Yeah. Tony Kemp, .143.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty ugly over the last seven games for this team. But I think that a lot of it will fall into place and get back to where they were before. This team can hit when healthy. That's just been the problem. And you know what? They got lucky last year. They didn't have the injury bug. This is a team that finally got bit by the injury bug. At least it's happening now. You don't want to go into the end of September. And now, if these things are still lingering like it appears to be with George Springer, then you're going to have to worry once you start getting into mid-September. But if they can, everybody can get back and this lineup can get to where it was at the beginning of the year, I think they'll be fine.
And I hope you're right.
I would always worry more about pitching at this point than I would about the bullpen,
and I'm worried about having enough bats.
I feel like the bullpens are always kind of up and down. Like
Presley,
they're going to have
bothers
their...
me. The fact that Presley came in and when they got him top five in terms of ERA and his strikeouts and everything that he brought to the table, and all of a sudden he should be in a comfort zone with a winning team, and he just doesn't look confident on the mound.
But you feel like A.J. Hinch knows that, and he's trying to let these guys... It's like anything, right? You got to let these guys... If they're struggling, you got to let them pitch out of it, hit out of it, and get this out of their system and figure things out. And they're not going to do that if they're not getting out there and getting mound visit, or if they're not getting any time on the mound.
I would say
now's the better time to do it. Now, at what point do you say, okay, enough's enough because it's costing us basically the division?
Well, not that it's... not it's the panic button, but what you saw today... is a clear indication that their grace period of things is over with.
Exactly. And so we're at to that point now. He was letting everybody kind of ride and do their thing, and now AJ's like, all right, we've got defined roles now. Everybody's going to pitch their role.
Come on, bro. I know it because you're a numbers guy, too, and we're both baseball guys. How great would it be if Beltre was your designated hitter in the playoffs?
Mm.
And he could fill in at third if you needed him because Bregman's versatile.
Yeah.
God, I would love that.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Texas Can Academy. He's been telling you about them for a long time. It's great because it's Houstonians helping people out in H-Town so that kids can get an education. It's a fantastic program. It's been around for a while. But essentially what it is like from the hurricane all the way on down, if you got a vehicle collecting rust and dust, maybe it's a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, it doesn't even have to be running anymore. You want to get rid of it. You don't want to pay for a tow truck. In the case of losing it in the hurricane, you're already taking enough of a loss. You don't want to pay to have it taken away. You don't have to. You call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. That's 713-225-4226 or carsforkids.org. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do all the paperwork. You get a nice little tax deduction, which always helps around April 15th. And you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins. Because they take your donation and they turn it into resources for kids that don't need distractions. They need all the help they can get so they can finish the books and get the degree. That means that distractions that normally can keep them from focusing, like I'm hungry, I need warm meals, or maybe I can't read, so I need eyeglasses, or I don't have the money to get the books that I need, or I can't get to school and I need bus fare. All of it's taken care of because of your donations, and it all stays right here in the city of Houston. So I encourage you, if you have something you think about, you've been thinking about getting rid of, or you think you might be able to donate, please give them a call. 713-225-4226 or carsforkids.org. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick, what are we?
I keep forgetting. 90 in the rear and 90 in the front.
Nothing ever has anything to do with the rear. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show, with nothing to do with the rear or peanut butter.
I didn't mention peanut butter this time.
This time, see? Because you're not at home. You're not spooning.
Where are we on first day of school pictures?
They were all over Facebook. Oh, my God.
God.
I'm about to say that I'm in the same spot with first day of school pictures as I am with Big Al.
Big Al.
I hit dingers.
The kid from the Little League World Series.
That was
that
great.
5 minutes of fame has been about 55 hours too long.
Oh, hating ass Joel. Why are you hating on Big
I like
Al?
the initial intro thing that he did for his
Let that
the
kid
lineup.
Live.
It's great.
Well, if he but don't stop eating, he may not be able to live.
He got that part of it. I'm not getting into that.
I am.
Nice.
Someone needs to talk to him. That's dangerous.
Nicholas.
He's obese as hell.
Nicholas.
The team wasn't even good enough to last in the series. They were eliminated right away. And he went on this world tour for about 5 days.
Well, he's Big Al. I loved it. I don't understand.
I liked the initial first couple of them, but then it just got to be overdone.
You guys are just hating.
He's like Engelbert. You remember Engelbert from the Bad News Bears?
Yeah.
He was the catcher.
Why y'all hating on Big Al, though?
Because it's
Nick's
too much
over here
overkill.
Saying he's got the beatus.
I didn't say that.
I think he's great in terms of a personality. Like, I think it's hilarious the way he talks, but yeah. He's a big dude. He needs to be careful.
Oh, he's just
parents
a kid?
Need to tell him something.
Nick's checking his cholesterol.
Yeah. That's a lot. He Man. Eats a lot.
You're not allowed to have bacon and peanut butter.
Barry's actually feeling bad for this guy. That's why I'm loving
yeah,
about this right
why
now.
Why are y'all being mean to Big Al?
Big Al's parents. You're not allowed to have peanut butter, bacon, or a dog.
That's why Nick don't like him.
That's not why I don't like him.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of Big Al. What are you talking about?
Sure. What did you tag me on with Dre, by the way? What did I miss here?
It was just a little fun we were having, since I'm really tired of self-proclaimed people that think that they're experts in the field of radio and television, making stupid lists and trying to decipher who's good and who's
so
not.
So you went against my advice. You went it against
Dude,
the advice of
first
counsel.
First of all, you are in no place to talk because you have given me tons of advice on Twitter only to not take it yourself.
Well, there are certain instances where you have to defend your honor, and this wasn't one of them. You should have just listened.
The people that needed that needed to know. I mean, to get the humor out of it, got it. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so we mentioned Stros tonight against the Mariners. The A's, we mentioned briefly. I mean, they're not going. Obviously, the Rangers aren't doing anybody any favors, and they got hammered last night. But Fires throws a one hitter in however long. The Chris Davis story I thought was really cool too. I don't know if you saw that or not. But before the game, and I kudos to Major League Baseball for not poo pooing on this. But Chris Davis had a Make a Wish kid sign the back of his jersey.
Okay.
He then went in, proceeded to hit a home run during the game.
That's pretty awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Those are those moments where you're like, all right, that was supposed to happen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was very neat. But the A's are obviously the Stros have their hands full with the Mariners, who are struggling and scuffling, trying to stay in the thing, while the A's are coasting through the Rangers.
You watch any of the Colts game last night?
I did not.
I did not
watch football. I flipped back and forth between the post-Oak Little Leaguers collapse and the Astros.
Some dude on Twitter was like, this kid cost post-Oak the World Series of baseball because he's wild. Get it out of there. Like, dude, it's a kid. Why are you getting angry on Twitter, you dumbass? It's a kid. Stop heckling kids that play baseball, you dumb.
I'm totally with you because, look.
Get a life,
the
loser.
The thing that bothers me the most is the fact that they've taken what used to be, when you played Little League baseball, you just wanted to have fun with your friends and be able to put the uniform on and go eat ice cream after the game and do all those things. They've made it such, it's like AAU, like we talked about with all these different sports. It's like they're so intense about the baseball now. Like, I heard the coach from post-Oak getting ripped because he wasn't intense enough when he was talking to the kids, about what to do. You got to relate to the kids on their level and just let them know to relax. Because most of these kids, they see the cameras. They know that they never played in front of that many people before.
Except Big Al.
Their nuts are already the size of snow peas. Now they're
cool
inverted.
Under pressure.
Ask Patrick Creighton. But they're freaking the hell out. They need to relax, and that's what the coaches are there to do.
I don't understand why people, just grown-ass men on Twitter, are getting upset, and because somebody tagged us. I want to find this idiot. I'm gonna give his name out on the air.
They tagged us?
Yeah, where is it? Some dude. Oh, here it is. David Morant. You can drop the T at the end. David Morant. Moron.
What the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Post-Oak. This is his tweet. I'm gonna read it verbatim. Post-Oak pitcher single-handedly game this game away. Wild as F. Cost them the game. kept throwing wild pitches. Oh, well, Houston is used to heartbreaks. Dude, it's a kid.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
It's David, it's a kid, bro.
Yeah.
Why are you? Yeah, he's wild because he's, what, 10, 12 years old? How a grown-ass man.
They're using the same logic and venom that they use when the Astros aren't playing well.
Yeah, you
on
can't.
12-year-olds.
It's a completely different thing. If you want to berate a Major League Baseball player that gets paid millions of dollars
right.
or hundreds of thousands of dollars in the case of some of these kids, that's fine. But, dude, leave the kids alone. Just be like, hey, good hustle out there. Good game. Nice try. You made us proud. You know, dude, why are you hating on a little-ass kid? That makes no sense to me.
I look at it the complete opposite way because I look at the kid that he's talking about, the pitcher that finished the game for Post-Oak, and the second baseman who the pitcher kind of yelled at. The pitcher yelled at him because he fielded a grounder but elected not to throw it to first base.
He got the yips or what?
So the inning got – because he kind of bobbled it a little bit.
Okay.
So the inning progressed. Well, then –
So the kid – so his own teammate yelled at him.
Yeah, so the pitcher's yelling at him. And the pitcher's the guy – That's have that the guy on Twitter is complaining
they got wild.
About, right? It got a little wild, right? So then
a little
fast forward a little bit now, right? So the same second baseman that the pitcher got in his ass because he didn't throw it to first base, they try and turn a double play. He should have ate it. Instead, he threw it. It was a wild throw. It got away and went into the dugout, and the tying run scored. So now you're
it's
in his head
though.
The wrong way, and
yeah.
It's kids. I felt so bad because after the game, I'm thinking exactly the opposite of what your Twitter guy there is thinking. I'm thinking, here are these two kids that if this just happened on a Saturday, they could go home and they could go to the ice cream store and they could go home and they go, oh, we got another game tomorrow. But because it was on ESPN, because the whole world's watching, and because of Yahoo's like this on Twitter, you just hope that they are allowed to forget about it.
Yeah, I've never understood why you would berate a kid on Twitter for their baseball. That's just
I don't
dumb.
Either.
Just dumb.
But that's what happens when you have social media warriors that feel like they're David Ross. Because what I do love is between Ravitch and Ross, they're not trying to do the game like the Sunday Night Baseball crew.
Right.
They are getting excited. They are having fun. They put a camera in the booth. And there's a kid that plays third base for the Great Lakes team from Michigan that made two Brooks Robinson-esque dive flat out. And they went to the booth camera, and both guys are like, oh, God, they're high-fiving, and then they got to come back and go, now, we're not rooting for either team.
Nice.
But we are rooting for great plays. Because it's good to see them get excited.
Hell yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, so you just let them have some fun, man. It's just, like you said, it's just kids playing Little League ball. It's not the World Series and the Astros.
Yeah.
You want the kid to have a hell of a life, not be remembered as the kid with the scarlet letter because he threw the ball past the first baseman. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to join the show, you know how we do it. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HR&P Lister Line. Call, text. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter. Either way, we'll probably be responsive unless you're a guy like that guy on Twitter that Barry mentioned, and then we'll reconsider. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Second hour of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. Nick has been selling tickets and checking IDs. He has about 63 people in the production studio. He has Jake from Sales Farm. He has Juggalo Trey and his bushels of hair, which now look like massive earmuffs.
Trey, how often do you cut your hair?
Can't keep having these conversations through the...
Ask him how often does he cut his hair.
We're not having that conversation.
Ask him how often he cuts his hair.
It's ridiculous. You want to talk to him? Tell him to go over there. Sit right next to Barry. Sit right next to Barry.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
Let's do that. Let's
absolutely
set him up right next to Barry right now. Let's get that chair.
Nope. The microphone is. Well, how? I just want to know.
You don't want to sit next to your son.
No. I just want to know how often he cuts his hair because
look
it looks like a mop.
Earmuffs.
To what?
His hair looks like massive earmuffs now. He's got the baseball hat crammed on his dome piece. Like and on either side, it just looks like massive earmuffs, like he's expecting a blizzard.
Like Princess Leia with that ended up in humidity. Just the frizzy. You don't remember she had those buns?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. They look like Cinnabons. Like, yeah. Only Princess
Leia. A redheaded now. Princess Leia who got hemmed up in some humidity and man. Now just Trey's a dumb mess ass now.
Thinks, oh, if I stand right over here, they won't see me anymore. No, Trey, we can move too.
We know what you look like, Trey. All right, you had a question for me about urinals.
I did. Okay. I saved this for you from last week when you were out because this is, again, right down your alley.
I don't know why. Wait. Why is urinals right down my alley?
I can tell you this because Nick and I had this discussion that we wished the one time I had a plumber come to the house last week and I said, oh,
which
God,
one of y'all
I
clogged
wish,
up the toilet?
I wish Barry was here because the topics that we brought up from a hygiene standpoint and what the plumber brought to the table,
you told me some of those.
I was telling you off the air. Yes. You would have been freaked out beyond belief.
Okay.
So this story is getting a lot of traction now. I found it last week, but it's absolutely true, and it's absolutely frightening and weird. In Paris, of all places, right, which everybody says is such a beautiful city, there's people outraged thinking that the city is being tarnished because they're experimenting with public urinals out in the open, almost like a red box drop. Where it's almost like you walk up to it, and I'll show you the picture. You walk up to it, and it's almost like certain waste baskets, too, that you see out outside in parks, where they kind of have kind of like a at the top, it kind of curves out, and then it opens up, and you can just put the trash in real quick.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about. They want you to put your junk
in their trash can.
So it's almost like when you go to the post office and they have
exactly what it's like. Okay. Like the post office mailbox.
But they just a place for you. So how do you
It's
hide
right
yourself?
By the water and you don't.
Are there no walls?
It's like a mini cubicle, right? So they got
Wait. So
I'm
you just
show it to you.
So you just walk up and put your junk into this thing.
Yep.
And there's no walls around you.
I mean, it's like a cubicle, so there's like some side divider kind of thing.
I can think of so many problems with this already.
Yeah.
So many problems with this already. So first of all, you're relying on whatever dude is using this. I'm assuming this is just for dudes. There's not like a toilet for women to sit on. This is just a stand-up thing for dudes.
Right.
So we're assuming that whatever weirdo is going to use this in public to begin with isn't going to be showing his junk. Because, listen, Yeah, it looks like
It's like a combination of what you were saying, a mail drop slot or one of those waste cans at maybe a McDonald's out by the play area.
Yeah.
It's got a little extra lip to it so that you can get your junk in there with a side divider, and then you're just supposed to let it fly.
First of all, that's unsanitary beyond belief. Is there something there when you put your stuff in there that's like a film that you
can
tear off?
Like I've been there and used one. I don't know. They said that they're trying.
Oh my God, that's so unsanitary.
They're saying that there was too much public urination, that this is going to curtail it.
Let's just add spreading VD along with all of the, because you're like, no. You're putting your junk where other dudes are putting their junk, and then you're urinating where other dudes are urinating?
It's like a
Where is this?
In Paris.
Well, no, I'm not surprised at all. Parisians are filthy people.
Look at you.
Filthy, filthy people. They're disgusting, filthy people. They don't bathe, and now they pee. What?
That's a different version.
Now, that's better. It's got sidewalls, at least, the one you're showing.
It looks like
they're just...
This one's like a phone booth.
Peeing in a mail slot.
Without the door on the phone booth. It's like a three-sided
phone booth.
It's got walls.
Right, so you don't see balls. That's the motto of these.
That should be the motto.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Balls to the walls and then some.
Like the other one, though, that looks like a place where you put mail.
Yep.
And
Dude, you've got mail.
That's so disgusting. Who would think this was a good idea? Nick, would you use that?
Are you talking about that? Because I went out. So.
Yeah,
the massager thingy.
The mail slot pee thing.
No, I would not.
In public.
No.
You know where this
That's
goes?
That's so gross.
You know
first
where this
of all,
goes?
You know what my first thought is? Everybody's getting herpes off of that thing. It just takes one, and then everyone's in there touching it. Second thought is, depending on how well endowed you are, some dudes are going to be on their tippy toes. and go, trying to be in there.
Ooh, that breeze is stiff.
Some dudes are going to be like, man, you can't, you got to stand back because you don't want to be too far in there.
Can I give you the fear factor?
Black guys are like, I'm not using that. I'll be touching the waist at the bottom. No way.
Can I give you the fear factor? What if you're a regular at one of these things, right?
Yeah.
And one day you're just not paying close attention and you go to use it like you normally do and someone's hiding that thing.
Oh, no. I remember that story. Yeah, I told you that story.
Which one?
Didn't I tell you that story?
I don't think so.
Yeah. There was a guy. This was back when I did my podcast. I'm pretty sure I told you about this.
I don't remember.
It was a story I did on my podcast about a guy that hid in a urinal to look at women's butts when they used the porta potty.
Yeah, we did talk about it because then I brought up the Geek Squad story.
Yeah, it was the porta potty. A dude was in the dirty part of the porta potty laying in there so he could look at chicks' butts.
Oh, you did tell. Yeah, you did say
that's
that.
That's just dumb.
But I'm like, in this case, can you imagine just unassuming and, man, I got to take a leak. And you go to Austin, you're like, oh, hey.
That's just, man, I don't know. That can't be a thing that's going to last for very long. That's got to be a big no-no.
Yeah, I would think that it's going to be short-lived, just weird. But we'll see.
I would rather pee my pants than use that. I would just be like, well, I guess I'm throwing these pants out. But I'm certainly not putting my stuff where every other dude's stuff has been and touched and then the pee all around it. It's got to be unsanitary, amongst other things. That's disgusting. Can we talk football?
Sure. That's
gross. I'm going to vomit right now. So I was looking at this quarterback situation with the Jets, and everyone is saying that Teddy Bridgewater is the odd man out, that Darnold is probably going to be the starter, that McCown is the guy that they plan on keeping, which surprises me a little bit, but okay. The list of the top five that ESPN posted, at least, about top five potential landing spots for Bridgewater, who, by the way, they're saying is looking great in camp.
No, I was going to say, look, for as much as Darnold has impressed and people know he's the quarterback of the future, they said if you needed to degrade all the quarterbacks in the Jets camp, Bridgewater's looked the best.
And I mean, when we first started talking about it, I said I thought Bridgewater would be the guy to win that job out of camp. But for some reason, I don't know what the Jets are thinking, but they're like, nah, we don't want Bridgewater. We'll go McCown and I get Darnold. But I thought for sure it would be Bridgewater to begin with. Darnold will take over at some point in the middle of the season, and that would be that. But apparently not. So there's a list of five teams that ESPN posted that could be in the running to land Teddy Bridgewater. Number one on that list, Jacksonville. All right?
I kind of get it.
I kind of do too, but you've committed now to Blake Bortles to a certain degree.
Big way.
Having to give up picks and whatever else it's going to take to land Teddy Bridgewater as your backup, I don't know if that makes sense for me. There are teams on here that do make sense, but number one with the Jags doesn't make a lot of sense. Number two, the Broncos, that makes sense to me. I don't think anyone is sold on Case Keenum being a long-term solution for the Broncos, but if you could land a Teddy Bridgewater, that might make a lot more sense as a, hey, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, who's your franchise quarterback? Well, it could be Teddy Bridgewater. Number three, the Patriots. Mm. Any thoughts on that?
I don't think they need him because the Patriots system, and they got a guy that everybody knows here, but I think that the way Hoyer fits in is he knows the Patriots way. He knows the system. I don't think – so far, everybody's that you're talking about has been an insurance policy.
Yep.
But I think that they're the least of the teams that needs an insurance policy, and the guy that they have knows the system better than most. And we know systematically, if you just do what's called, you're going to be okay there.
But do you think about the future now that they've given up on Garoppolo and traded him? Do you think that maybe if Brady sticks around for another year or two with Bridgewater as his backup, he can be groomed to be the guy and take over long term? I mean, I don't know if you do or you don't, but that's why it would kind of make sense. The number four on the list, the Saints. I think you do have to start planning for losing Drew Brees at some point. But it's kind of the same thing with Brady.
Another insurance policy and a long-term solution. I got one that wasn't on your list, but finish it up.
The last one makes actually the most sense of any of the ones we've mentioned.
Okay.
Number five is the New York Giants. I would do that in a heartbeat if I'm the Giants because at this point, I don't know that I trust Eli Manning.
Well, and you remember, you're absolutely right because if you remember, the Giants were actually contemplating taking a quarterback and not Barkley at the top of the draft so that they had Eli's successor. If you didn't do that and you seem to have got it right with the running back you needed, the next thing you've got to do in the progression is you got to have a quarterback of the
future. I would have had that listed as number one. But
the other team I'd throw out there, Tampa Bay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Jameis is going to be suspended for the first four games. Jameis, you don't know what you got, and if you're if you may be tired of dealing with all the crap, and you've got a guy that can step right in, run a similar system, has a ton of upside.
Athletic,
And it's going to be easy for people to get behind, too, and
that's a good point.
So, there you have it. All right, we got two in the books, 1 hour still to go of the big show. Don't go anywhere, because coming up next, the Sports Mappers dive into the fray, and they join us as well, as we'll simulcast till 4. Blitz will take you home till 7. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 975. Coming down like an Armageddon flame. What a shame,
the ones who died without a name. You're listening to ESPN 975.
We're taking a break.
Okay.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.